Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's time for Carl to recreate some more voices from the week's news. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago, where you can download the podcast edition of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and pick up your Wait, Wait swag at the NPR shop. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Anastasia Zink calling from Westtown, Pennsylvania.
Okay, let's stop and go back. This is who?
Anastasia Zink calling from Westtown, Pennsylvania.
Anastasia Zink.
Yes.
A to Z.
That's right.
Were you born Anastasia Zink, or did you marry into it, or did you
I married into it? I was born Anastasia Wedemeyer, actually.
Ah, right.
So I guess I can only imagine the time you've saved since you got married.
Absolutely, and a lot of vowels, because Anastasia Wedemeyer is a lot of vowels.
Yeah. We can tell what you saw in him, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anastasia, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will now finally read three quotations from the week's news. If you correctly identify or explain two of them, Carl will record the greeting on your home answering machine. And I bet he wants you to win, because I'm betting, knowing Carl as I do, that there's nothing more that he would like to say than, you've reached Anastasia Zink.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Here is your first quote.
This is a hiccup. Well, maybe a slightly louder than normal burp.
That's a man named David Sowerby telling CNBC not to worry too much about what financial event this week.
The stock market.
Yes, exactly right. The stock drop.
Yes, exactly.
Plunge. Despite Mr. Sowerby's sanguine attitude, the worldwide crash in stocks sounded more like a huge belch as investors watched their fortunes dwindle. The weird thing about this is that nobody seems able to offer a convincing explanation for why it happened. Some people blame China, markets there. Some people said it was comments by Alan Greenspan, even though he's been out of office for a year. Here's a theory. Representative Louis Gohmert, Republican of Texas, went out into the House floor and blamed Democratic war opponent John Murtha. He said it's his fault for, quote, undermining the president's national security policy, unquote. Everybody dumped their stocks.
Certainly what drove me to it.
Very good. Here is your next quote, Anastasia.
He is not a tough wartime leader. His hair looks too perfect.
Now, those judgments were from an internal campaign document obtained by the Boston Globe. They're the possible criticisms that a particular presidential candidate should expect to receive from his enemies. Who is this man who believes that his own great hair is a potential liability?
Mitt Romney?
Yes, Mitt Romney. There you are.
I always think that that's part of a German menu, you know, like Mitt Schlag.
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
You want that Mitt Romney?
The former Massachusetts governor, once an abortion rights-loving, gay-tolerating, Paul Tsongas-voting moderate, has been turning so hard to the right that his head now spins permanently in a clockwise direction. His staff wanted to say that his views, you see, are evolving, but until the Republican primaries, he doesn't believe in evolution either. All right, here is your last quote.
Any lowering of emissions they achieved with the limos was canceled out by the amount of smoke they blew up Al Gore's bleep.
That was Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert reviewing what entertainment event?
The Oscars.
Right, very good. This year's Oscars ceremony was so long and boring that the Los Angeles Times compared it, low blow, to a PBS pledge drive. In fact, the most excitement was created by the documentary Oscar that went to An Inconvenient Truth, the film of Al Gore's global warming slideshow. Gore went to the podium, he thanked the little people, which, relative to him, meant everyone in the room. In fact, strategists in Hillary Clinton's campaign determined that Mr. Gore's prosperous look, if you will, means that he won't run for president. If he was in the race, he'd lose weight. And let's face it, the man did look like his cummerbund was about to pop out and whack Helen Mirren in the head.
Helen Mirren, who was great, by the way, one of the best acceptance speeches I've ever heard.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the queen.
She planned that, though.
Well,
that was planned.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Okay. What, but it was not spontaneous.
I've been planning mine, and I've never even been in a movie.
Well, no. Do you have your Oscar acceptance speech ready to go?
I'm not going to give it here on the radio. It'll spoil it.
Hey, now, speaking of bosom, she had some, you know. Didn't
she did.
You?
I didn't notice it, but.
Carl, how did Anastasia do in our quiz?
Anastasia had a great game, Peter. 3 correct answers. So, Anastasia, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
All right.
Hooray!
Well done.